Hymn number 46, O worship the King, all glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord this day as we come to worship him in spirit and in truth with all our souls and to magnify the living and the true God. It's our joy to come into his presence. It's our joy to be able to sing to his praise. And let us do that today. Standing to sing number 46. Amen. You may be seated. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend, this is the Lord whom we worship and serve today. It is a delight to welcome all of the mothers today because we specially recognize this and remember the great benefit and the heritage that we have and we owe to those, our mothers. I would ask you to pray for my own mom today. She's not able to be with us in the service. She's in the hospital just now, had a turn, and she's in getting some things looked after. So I'd ask you to please remember her in prayer before the Lord. But you know, when we think back, and I do believe it affects us as young people and going through the stages of teenage years and into adulthood, to acknowledge and remember back all that mothers mean to us and what we owe to them. Back before our memories were able to think why they cared for us, they nurtured us from the earliest of our moments of life on earth. And they took care of all the pleasant things and all of the unpleasant things as well. Mothers had those responsibilities. And also the growing up times where there was injury, children run to their parents, usually before to the fathers, because they get the care and the nurturing necessary. And all of these things are packed full of memories, and they're special to us. And I believe it's important for us not to forget, even through the teenage years when there was perhaps some back talk and things that should not have happened, and a lot of disrespect. Yet as we grow older, we come to appreciate and respect our parents, and specifically our mums. And so we acknowledge and thank God today for what he has done for us and the mums he has given to us. Let's come now before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we enter into thy most holy presence today, and we come with thankful hearts. We come, Lord, filled with praise for all that we have been given and blessed with. We are thankful, Lord, for all the temporal mercies from thy gracious hand. We've already been thinking about the benefit and the blessing that we have received of having mums that have looked after us in our lives, have taken care of us, and have gone through thick and thin. And, oh God, we rejoice and give thanks for our mums. And we pray, oh God, that thou wilt help us to acknowledge that all of these temporal blessings of parents, of family, of friends, they come from thy gracious hand. And Lord, we are thankful today. And I pray that each one of us would truly come with a heart overflowing with rejoicing and praise to thee, our great God. We've been singing about our Redeemer and our friend. And oh God, we bless thee today for our Savior. We are thankful for his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, for his holy life that he lived on our behalf, and the fact that he is gloriously risen from the grave and is seated at thine own right hand. Oh God, we pray that we will ever be filled with joy and thanksgiving, with a desire to praise and to lift up and to honor our Savior, and that all that we do in this church, in our own lives, our families, will be to magnify him whom our soul loves. Dear God, come near to us this day, we pray. Fill us with the joy and peace of God. Give us a hearing ear as the scriptures are opened. Bless the children as they take part in the meeting. We ask that they will be blessed and our souls will be refreshed as well. We pray for the one who will come to open the scriptures to us. May he know himself strengthened with might in the inner man. Be blessed and filled with the power of God to preach the word. Lord, may this entire week, as we've been looking for and praying about for a long time, as all our ministers and their families come, bless this week. We pray that we will know the mind of Christ, the leading of thy Spirit. And Lord, may this be a blessed time. Hear our prayers. We all need that touch from God. We desire to be changed, that we might grow more and more to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior. Our Father, remember those gathered in our service today who have never met the Savior. They do not know him. They've never tasted of the joy and peace of sins forgiven. Lord, come near to them, bless them, open their understanding, and lead them to the cross where they would call out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Hear this, our prayer today. Continue with us now. Receive our thanksgiving for all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, please, with me now to Psalm number 84. You find those psalms in the back of our book. There's a slightly different tune from the one that you have here, but I think you'll find it familiar. Psalm 84. This is a blessed psalm, and I really rejoice in it for many, many reasons. But I think of the tenderness of God as he takes care of not just the large things in his universe and creation, but he looks and takes care of the very smallest of things. Look at verse 3. It says, behold, the sparrow findeth out an house wherein to rest. The swallow hath provided for herself a place to nest. And then the fourth verse, even thine own altars, where she safe her young ones forth to bring. The altars of God were places where the smallest of creatures found their home, their resting place. And the Lord takes care of those that are are the very smallest of creatures. And my friend, the Lord is watching over and will take care of you as well. Now, as we sing this psalm, the children from our Sunday school are going to be coming into the front. And then after we finish the psalm, they're going to make a ministry and song for us. And then after they conclude, the other division of our Sunday school is going to come. Let's stand, please, to worship Psalm 84. Amen. You may be seated.
Gentle and sweet.
Oh, means how often we love to repeat.
T for treasure that I love.
H is for home. H is for home.
sent from God up above.
He is forever will try to be true.
Always will remember how much he loves you.
Put them together and mother they spell. This is the end of the story we tell.
And come short of the glory of God.
Thank you, boys and girls, for that ministry today. And I know that even if your heart might be a little sad or you're cold inside, seeing the children, it would certainly warm your heart. And it's great to look down at your faces and see as the little children taking part in the service. These things bring great delight to the heart of the Lord, and certainly we rejoice in that too. Let me welcome you all to our morning service today. We're glad to see each one of you. We've already noted those who are the mums who are here. How many grandmothers do we have in the service this morning? Put your hand up. Let me see you. A few grandmothers. All right, now let's do one more. How many great-grandmothers do we have? One, two, three, four. There's a finger pointing over there. Good. Oh, you're very welcome. We're happy to see all of you folks here today. We do have some special visitors. We know there are some folks who are here for the first time today in our service. We're very happy to have you. Do take a moment to sign our visitor's book and be sure you pick up a welcome package from one of our brethren as you leave the service today. We're very happy to have you. We have the first installment of our ministers and their families and some elders who are joining us for our presbytery meetings and times of prayer that are going to be taking place in the church here from Monday right through until next Friday. We had a lengthy mission board meeting yesterday. Dr. Mark Allison from Malvern, Pennsylvania was here with us. He is now preaching the word today in our Barry congregation, but he is the minister in our Malvern congregation in Pennsylvania. So we're very happy to have our brother. And also we have Mr. Palsy Kanji and his wife and family. Palsy is an elder in our Malvern congregation, and he's also serving on the mission board. We're pleased to have him. And also we have Greg Arcee and his wife and their family here from our Litchfield, New Hampshire congregation, our brothers and elder there. I don't want to forget Reverend David Mook here, who is the clerk of our presbytery and also the minister of Phoenix, a Free Presbyterian Church, and also serving on our mission board. Our brother took the Bible class this morning, and we're very thankful for all these brethren safely arriving. And then we have, I'll say a few more words a bit later, Reverend Alan Smiley, who's here with us from Northern Ireland. And before he comes to preach, I'll be just giving a few more words of introduction to him. But we're happy to have all these folks who are here with us. And if I've left out your name, it's not intentional in any way. We're just happy that each one of you here is here for our time. And we trust that God would bless you and cause his word to be a great blessing to you in this incoming week. We meet this evening at 6 p.m. for our time of prayer before the evening service, and there will be a service proper at 6:30 tonight. Do come back again to a fellowship with us around the Word of God. We have another one of our visitors from Northern Ireland who will be preaching the Word for us in the evening, Reverend Samuel Murray. But do come back again. Look forward to a time of great rejoicing. This week is a busy one for this congregation, and it's an opportunity we've been looking forward to, showing hospitality to the folks who are visiting. Wednesday evening is a very special night, and it's one that you are all welcome to attend, and we hope you will be here at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And it will be a time, a special meeting, where the ministers will be taking part, giving some testimonies. But it's also a special night because we're going to have the ordination of Mr. John Fraser, who was recently elected by the congregation to serve as an elder in this ministry. And so we're looking forward to that special meeting on Wednesday evening, Lord willing. There are some other announcements in your bulletin, which you can look up there and be much in prayer for. And I'll just leave those things with you at this time. We're going to take up the offering now for the Lord's work here, and while we do, we'll sing hymn number 731. On Tuesday night, this incoming week is a special evening for our young people, and it's a youth rally. And we're going to be having Chuck Barrett, Dr. Charles Barrett, is going to speak to the young people Tuesday night. And so, young people, if you know anyone who would like to come along to a special service, by all means, invite them. Let me encourage you to bring your family and friends out to this meeting that's geared specifically for our youth. We also have devotional times for the ladies and young people who are here visiting with the families every morning at 9 o'clock, and as well as, of course, the meetings that are slated for the ministers and elders who are here. An action-packed week. Could I ask you to pray that the Lord would meet with us in every meeting, every devotional time? This is essential. We need the guidance and direction of the Lord's Spirit to oversee all of our devotional times, all of our deliberation, that we would know His mind, His presence. For we know that if the Lord meets with us, that will be make it all worthwhile, make the meetings most meaningful. And that's what we're after, that will glorify the Lord in all things. 731, oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior. Remain seated, please, while we sing. Stand, please, for the singing of that final verse. May be seated. Let that be the prayer of every heart this morning. Each time we have our North American ministers' meetings of prayer and presbytery times in May when the families gather, we also have the joy of two representatives from our Ulster Presbytery, a denomination, the parent body of the North American Free Presbyterian Church. Two brethren come to show their support and just to give representation. And it's always a joy to have this opportunity of welcoming these men and the two brothers who have been assigned to come over this time. The one behind me that's going to be preaching the word this morning, Reverend Alan Smiley, is the minister in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm not sure how many years he has been there serving the Lord, but we're very happy that he is here with us in our church and our pulpit today and to have the joy of fellowship. We're looking forward to having time with these brethren all throughout the week. And so do remember them, please, before the Lord in prayer. So, brother, you're very welcome here in our pulpit today. May the Lord bless you.
What can I say? It's a joy to be here. And Toronto is my first time. In Toronto, some people think it's my first time out of Ireland. By the way, I get lost everywhere I go. I'm sort of that sort of person. I need someone to guide me. Thankfully, Reverend Samuel Murray has been with me to guide me, and Dr. McClelland as well. But we do bring you greetings from the General Presbytery of Ulster. As Deputy Moderator, I'd like to, on behalf of the Moderator and the Clerk of our Presbytery, bring you greetings and trust that the Lord will bless us together this week as we have fellowship. I'd like to thank all the folk here for their hospitality already, and for Dr. and Mrs. McClelland and Dr. and Mrs. Saunders for all the help they've been to us already. I was here on Friday night at the school concert, and I was so jet-lagged, I was up in the gallery and nearly fell off the gallery. I was like the man in Acts chapter 20 who fell from the window when Paul was preaching. But thankfully that didn't happen, and we've got a little rest and sleep since then. And we're delighted to be with you, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we consider his word this morning. I'm going to turn your attention for a little time this morning to the Acts of the Apostles and to chapter 4, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and reading together some words here from verse 23. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and verse 23. Let's hear the word of God. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Father, we come now to the concluding moments of this service. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning in the closing moments of this service to the theme, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came. You'll find the text there in Acts 4, as the basis of the ministry this morning. Acts 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. Now, as we read through the word of God, we see that in the Old Testament scriptures, there is an emphasis upon the Father. In the Gospels, there is an emphasis upon the Son. And in the Acts and in the Epistles, there is an emphasis upon the Holy Spirit. And how we need to know the Father, we need to know the Son, and experience His so great salvation. And we need to know the Holy Spirit, and experience His power in our lives from day to day, from hour to hour, and from moment to moment. And when we come to look at the Acts of the Apostles, we are challenged by the power that is available to each believer and to the church of Jesus Christ as a whole. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The individual believer stands in need of power, and how powerless we are and weak without the Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ needs power. How ineffective we are if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit upon our ministry. It's like a car without an engine, the machine without the power that drives it. Oh, yes, we can have all the organization and all of the facilities we need, and even all of the people in their various roles, fulfilling their various functions in the church. But without power, it will not function properly, and nothing of any substance will happen. C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, in his young days, he got a penny farthing cycle. It was new and it was silver-plated. And he was very proud of it. And one day, riding along, he met another cyclist on a bone shaker. "Difficult to ride that machine," said Spurgeon. "Isn't it?" The man replied, "Not a bit." And off he started. And Spurgeon did his best to follow. But he couldn't keep up with him. You see, Spurgeon had the machine, but the man had the power. And that was the great difference. And how often, like Samson, the church would arise and shake themselves and think that all is well with us. And yet we wist not that the Holy Spirit has departed from us. Oh, the awful tragedy of not having the Spirit's power in our lives from day to day. We could do everything that is possible for us to do by way of effort. We could expend all of our energy and all of our enthusiasm. And yet, if the Spirit of God is not amongst us, and the power of God is not attending our ministry, then all will be in vain. How we must recognize that even today. As the psalmist said, "Vain is the help of man. But through God we can do valiantly, for He it is that will tread down our enemies." As we look at the Acts of the Apostles, at the believers then, at the church then, we see something very simple, and yet something very sublime. And something very strong. The Holy Ghost came. And that's what we need today in the church in 2012, as never we needed it before. And I want to dwell upon this theme this morning, taking some simple things for your consideration and for your understanding. And I pray the Holy Spirit will write these words upon your heart. First of all, we see the Holy Ghost came when they prayed. When you go back to Acts chapter 1, you discover that they prayed, 120 of them, men and women who were gathered together. in that upper room, Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And you will notice that they were commanded to wait. You go back to the 24th chapter of Luke and verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Again, Acts 1 and 4. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And so they met together with that purpose in mind, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. And how we need to wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon us even today. They were commanded to wait. But I want you to see in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, that they continued to wait. The word continued is used. And it's used many times, of course, in Scripture in relation to prayer. And they gathered together in the upper room and they prayed and they continued to pray. And there was no let up. And there was no leaving the place of prayer. They did not relax in regard to this matter. There was such a burden upon their hearts. And they believed that God was going to come. And God was going to answer prayer. And so they continued. And they were still waiting when in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came in power upon them. And so many people, and we have to look at our own lives and our own hearts and our own churches in regard to this, and we're so inconsistent in prayer. The truth of the matter is that we don't continue to pray. We pray for a while, and then we leave it. And we pray again, and then we leave it again. And so we're characterized by inconsistency. But that wasn't so here. They continued to wait. And I want you to see, thirdly, here, that they had concord as they waited because they were with one accord. And again in Acts 2 and verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. There was unity in prayer. And brethren and sisters, this is the key for the coming of the Holy Spirit amongst us in power, being united together. It's one thing for us to pray, but it's another thing for us to be united in prayer. And the Bible says this to you and I in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. If two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Agreement together. Oh, this is so important today that I might impress it upon your minds and your hearts as we meet together in God's house today. That we agree together in regard to what we ask as we supplicate the throne of grace. They had concord as they waited. But I want you to see that they conquered when they waited because God answered their prayers. And God moved. And God came in mighty power. The Holy Ghost came. The power of God was let loose in their midst. And there was a demonstration of divine power. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. Suddenly the Holy Ghost came. Strikingly the Holy Ghost came as a rushing mighty wind. Supernaturally the Holy Ghost came. Tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And God came among His people. And God visited His people. And again here in Acts chapter 4, from which we have read today, they were in the prayer room again. And the Holy Ghost came again. You see, the Holy Ghost coming was not a once-for-all experience. It was a continual thing. And it was repeated again and again throughout the history of the church in the Acts of the Apostles and throughout the history of the church in subsequent years and subsequent generations. God, by His Spirit, has come. And how we need Him to come again. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled
with the Spirit, continually filled. The Holy Ghost came. May the Holy Ghost come today here in Toronto. May the Holy Ghost come in our own congregations back in Ulster. May the Holy Ghost come here in this week of prayer as we meet together as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love His Word, who love His cause. This was no easy thing that they did. But they waited. And they wanted. And God supplied that need. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But there's a second thing today as we look at the Holy Ghost coming. The Holy Ghost not only came when they prayed, but the Holy Ghost came as they preached the Word. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the Word of God on the day of Pentecost to those that were gathered together at that time out of every nation under heaven. You couldn't have got a more international gathering than that. And the power of God came upon the word preached. Look at chapter 2 of Acts, verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Again, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's the same word we're preaching today that they preached then. It's the same Christ that they preached then that we're preaching today. What is required is for the Holy Ghost to come upon the preaching of the Word as He did so powerfully then. And thank God the Holy Ghost can come again as He did then. God can move again in our midst. I was thinking of George Whitefield, that great preacher, and how he preached the Word of God, one of the mightiest preachers that the church has been blessed with down through the centuries of time. And George Whitefield preached on the preaching braes at Cambuslang in Scotland. Maybe some of you have visited that particular area, as I have, on a number of occasions, and looked there and thought there of those days when Whitefield there preached the Word of God. And there were those who came to with the purpose in mind of disrupting the services, of treating the ministry in a flippant manner. And those very people were stricken by the power of God as Whitefield preached the Word of God. And there was a man in Cambuslang called William McCulloch. He was what we call a dry preacher. And people slept as he preached. But one day, William McCulloch, as he preached the Word of God, as he read his sermons, in fact, if that's what he did, the Holy Ghost came. And William McCulloch was a different preacher. And people were stricken by the power of God as William McCulloch preached the Word of God. And souls were saved. And God came. The Holy Ghost came. And my friend, we could dot all our theological I's and stroke all our theological T's, and I'm not against that. But brethren, we need the Holy Ghost. And sisters today, for the letter killeth, it is the Spirit that giveth life. Look at Peter in the house of Cornelius, later on in Acts chapter 10, and he preached the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the Word. The Word was preached. And while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost came. Look at verse 45 of Acts 10. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came. Think of Stephen, Acts 6 and 7. He was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look at Paul, what a mighty preacher of the Word he was. Immediately after his conversion in Acts 9 and 20, the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that He is the Son of God. And the Holy Ghost came upon the preaching of the Word from the lips of the great apostle, and many were troubled as they heard him preach. And many were trembling as they heard him preach.
And many were transformed as God worked mightily and powerfully through the Spirit-anointed preaching of the Word of God. How we need that today. God to move again. Think of D.L. Moody. He said one day in New York, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It was almost too secret to name. I can only say God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of God and of his love that I had to ask God to stay his hand. I went on preaching. The sermons were no different. I didn't present any new truths. And yet hundreds were converted. I would not go back to where I was before that experience. When God came to me and God visited me, the Holy Ghost came as the word was preached. And I pray, brethren and sisters, that the Holy Ghost will come again to our hearts. The blessed Comforter, the blessed Paraclete, the one who stands alongside to help, would come today and in subsequent days and visit his church with power. Thirdly, the Holy Ghost came as they personally published and presented Christ. You cannot read the Acts of the Apostles without seeing how there was a great emphasis upon personal evangelism. It was the Holy Ghost who anointed their service for Christ. They were in personal contact with other people. They communicated to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is something that the Savior himself, of course, gave us a great example of. Many occasions, but the one there that comes to mind is John 4. How Jesus conversed with that woman. And she came to taste of the living water of life. She never thirsted again. Look at Acts chapter 8, the contact that Philip had with the Ethiopian eunuch. It was a Spirit-led contact because the Spirit led him into conversation with that eunuch. It was the power of the Spirit that was upon that ministry as Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture that the eunuch read from, which was Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. Then you come to Acts 16 from verse 13 onward, and you have Lydia's conversion. You have the personal contact and conversation with the woman at the riverside, and Lydia's heart was open. And the Bible tells us there that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. And the Holy Ghost blessed the word spoken. And you know, my friends, today the Holy Ghost can lead you. And the Holy Ghost can enable you and empower you to speak to others of Christ. Again, in Acts chapter 16, we have the damsel delivered from the spirit power of Satan. The power of the Spirit was on the word spoken by Paul. Acts 16 from verse 25 onwards. Paul and Silas in the prison at Philippi. When the earthquake struck in that prison, the doors were opened and the jailer was filled with consternation, remember? And how Paul and Silas were able to speak to the way of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the Holy Ghost came in conviction. And this man's heart was open. And this man was converted to Christ. And not only he, but his household. Men and women, today, the Holy Ghost will come upon us. We will go out into the streets and lanes of the city. We'll go out into the highways and hedges and compel men and women to come in. The house may be filled. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Paul was a personal evangelist, as well as a preacher of the word. And he preached the word personally to Felix, to Agrippa. Sadly, on these occasions, they did not come to Christ, but we must realize that everyone will not come. But they had opportunity to come, and the Holy Ghost used the words to bring conviction to their hearts. May the Holy Ghost come upon us, even today, that we might be a witness for our Lord and Jesus Christ, that you will go out into this city, that we will go out into all of our cities and all of our communities to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost came. I want you to see, fourthly today, the Holy Ghost came when they were persecuted for proclaiming the gospel. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, there was a great persecution. And of course, you will know from Acts 7 that Stephen had been slain. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed to those things which Philip spoke. And the Bible tells us there in chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles in verse 8 that there was great joy in that city. The Spirit of God moved in the midst of persecution. And you know what it said today, that the fastest growing church is the persecuted church, that the church in China, underground church, is the fastest growing church in the world. Where men seek to silence the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Ghost is working in a mighty way. And God is pouring out of His Spirit. Many are being swept into the kingdom through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. To summarize, in whatever way Christ is fully preached, the Holy Ghost came. God was pleased to move in a mighty way, and the strongholds of Satan were overthrown, and a highway was made for the preaching of the glorious gospel of the glorious person of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And His name was glorified, and the Holy Ghost came. Our earnest prayer that is that there will be such a visitation of God upon us today and in days to come, that we may experience times of refreshing from the presence of God. I've been pleased to live in a generation where the Holy Ghost did come in Ulster and visit our churches and visit our people. I was brought up in times when there was hundreds of people saved and God moved. And I suppose we were in the midst of revival and we didn't really know it. But God moved in a mighty way in Ulster. May the Lord do it again. You know what the Word says? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. The Holy Ghost came. Moody once said to his audience, he lifted up a glass, how can I get the air out of this glass? One man said, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, that would only create a vacuum and smash the glass or shatter the glass. And after many more impossible suggestions were made, Moody picked up a pitcher of water and filled the glass. And he said, all the air is removed. And he went on to show how that the answer to the Christian's powerlessness, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The answer to the church is powerlessness today is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Ghost come down today amongst you here in Toronto. May God visit His people. But if you're here not saved today, let me tell you something. I had a great mother who taught me the gospel. She taught me the Word of God from I could understand. She died in 2000 of cancer. And you know, my friend, when I was a boy of 11, I heard the gospel again. I heard it many times, and God saved me that night. 15th of January, 1969. I know I only looked like 21, but that's not the case. But I pay tribute to my mother and to my late father, too, who taught me the ways of God. If you don't know Christ today, the Holy Spirit is not in your heart. But thank God the Holy Spirit can come and reside in your heart today if by faith you'll take Christ as your Savior. And all those years, the Holy Spirit has been abiding in my heart. I trust you will let Him come and abide in your heart today. That you will be saved ere you leave this gathering. That the Holy Spirit will come and save your soul. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truths of Thy Word, we pray. And grant that the Holy Spirit will come in power to each heart for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to number 683. Thank our brother for bringing that word to us today. It's the prayer, the longing, the desire that each of us need to know the Lord's filling, to know His power, to know His anointing. The Savior said, without me, you can do nothing. We need the Lord's daily anointing in us. Visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival, save in Thy life-giving breath? Let's stand, please, singing number 683, verses 1, 3, and 5.